Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to an Old Testament book today. It's 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We have been looking at a series of messages concerning worship, nature of worship, who we worship, and how we worship, and when we worship, and where we worship, and the emphasis has been on who we worship. But from time to time, we've talked about the fact that even those of us who worship the one true God do not necessarily do everything the same way all the time. Our worship doesn't always look like that or that or that. And so when we get around other folks whose background is a little different than ours, sometimes we think they're not worshiping correctly because they don't do it like we do. Now, as we look at what Scripture says about worship, as I said, our focus is on the one that we worship. We want to know him better and better and love him more and more. But I do want you to know that there are some things in the Scriptures that, because they're very biblical, would be good things for us to cultivate in our lives, even if it's not what you're used to. Okay? When we were on Cape Cod years ago, I was pastoring there, and 95% of the people who went to church on Cape Cod, which was a small fraction of the people on Cape Cod, most people didn't go to church, but 95% of those who did were Roman Catholic. So I thought about naming the church there St. John the Baptist Church. But I didn't do that. I didn't want to be found guilty of false advertising. Nevertheless, we did do a number of biblical things that helped make people coming from a Roman Catholic background, which was most of our members, feel a bit more like they'd been to church. Okay? We not only sang the doxology, we sang the Gloria Patria, we did things that resonated with them and were meaningful to them and are thoroughly biblical. There's nothing unchristian about it just because that's not what you grew up with. I grew up in, if there's high church and low church, we were somewhere below low, okay? I thought Lent was something you had to get off the filter in the dryer. I didn't know about Lent, okay? And so there was just a whole lot of stuff that was outside my background, outside my comfort zone. But as I got to know the body of Christ and its diversity better, I began to realize more and more that there's a lot of rich, wonderful stuff out there that is biblical, as long as you don't substitute following a bunch of rules for being led by the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to. It's not an either-or situation. Some of you, I'm not a dancer myself, but some of you may know that it's possible to move very gracefully and fluidly and freely even when you've been choreographed or when you are engaged in a waltz. Okay? Now, for some of you, I've just spoken a foreign language, and you need interpretation. That's biblical too. When a person knows the steps, they're no longer saying, 1, 2, 3. It's now become a part of them, and they're focused instead on their partner. It's when you're learning the steps that you become self-conscious. Are we supposed to kneel? Are we supposed to sit? Are we supposed to stand? What are we supposed to do next? Okay? And I want you to understand this. If you're concerned about other people around you and what they might think if you sit or stand or kneel or whatever at the wrong moment, your focus is in the wrong direction. Because we're not worshiping the people around us and we're not worshiping ourselves. We're here to worship God. And there will be some things that will be consistent from week to week, and there will be other things that will be different from week to week, and that's okay. And if it's not what you're used to, that's okay. As long as our focus is trying to help people focus on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you can even do that here. It's okay to say amen. But I want you to understand, when we look at God's Word, we are not only given examples of what people did. I'll give you an example. When folks felt great grief regarding sin or other bad news that might represent God's judgment, they would rip their clothes. That's an example of something that happened, but it's not something that we are generally urged to do. In fact, one of the prophets was inspired by God to say, rend your hearts, not your garments. God's not looking for you to rip your clothes open. God's looking for you to be brokenhearted about your sin. Okay? So God's Word not only gives us examples of what people did, but it gives us instructions about what we should do. And I'll give you an example that we mention from time to time, because for some of you it's uncomfortable. I was rebuked by a dear friend who's now in heaven because I had raised my hands in worship in a church where I was the interim pastor. And this person had wanted me to be the interim pastor in that church, but then was mortified to see that I behaved in a way that she associated with people who she thought were theologically inferior to her. And so she was really angry, and she told me so. She was a very plain-spoken person. Those would be her words to describe it. There might be other ways of describing her personality, but she would say she was plain-spoken. She said, you shouldn't do that. People are going to get the wrong idea about what kind of church this is. And I said, well, I hope this is a church that wants to please the Lord. Well, of course. And I said, well, lifting your hands in worship and in prayer is something that pleases the Lord. Well, she didn't buy that. So we looked at some of the scriptures together. If you're taking notes, let me suggest some references for you. Just from the book of Psalms. Psalms 28:2. Psalm 44:20. Psalm 63:4. Psalm 68:31. All of Psalm 134, but especially Psalm 134:2. Psalm 141:2. Psalm 143:6. Okay, but that's Old Testament. Yeah. So, New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:8, which says, I would that all men everywhere would pray, lifting holy hands unto the Lord. Why? Why does he want us to raise our hands when we pray? Because God likes it. Now, here's the thing. If God says, I like it when you raise your hands, you know what we ought to be quick to do? I mean, that's not a hard thing. It's like Naaman, who was told to dip himself 7 times in the river, and he got all angry and said he wouldn't do it. And his servants said, if he'd told you to do something really hard, wouldn't you have done it? Well, yes. Well, then how much more this easy thing? It is not that hard to raise your arms. Okay? It's just not that hard. So do it. Practice it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, in this passage from 2 Chronicles, we're going to see some examples of worship and posture in worship that are good examples for us and consistent with other scripture, but we're going to see something else much more important, and that is a display of the glory of the God whom we worship. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is the reading of God's word. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. They're already in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Always a good move. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah, who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the Lord's temple before the new courtyard. He said, "Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and who gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in the land and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name and have said, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you, for your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Now, here are the Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. You did not let Israel invade them when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, but Israel turned away from them and did not destroy them. Look how they repay us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you." All Judah was standing before the Lord with their dependents, their wives, and their children. In the middle of the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite from Asaph's descendants. And he said, "Listen carefully, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jeruel. You do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. Then the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting loudly. In the morning they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Then he consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, I'm sorry, I've got to read that line again. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever." The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir who came to fight against Judah. And they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites turned against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely annihilated them. When they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy each other. When Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there were only corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder. They found among them an abundance of goods on the bodies and valuable items, so they stripped them until nobody could carry any more. They were gathering the plunder for 3 days because there was so much. They assembled in the valley of Beraka on the 4th day, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, that place is still called the Valley of Beraka today. Then all the men of Judah and Jerusalem turned back with Jehoshaphat, their leader, returning joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. So they came into Jerusalem to the Lord's temple with harps, lyres, and trumpets. And the terror of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And then Jehoshaphat's kingdom was quiet, for his God gave him rest on every side. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, I want you to see several different postures, all of which are encouraged at various times in Scripture. First of all, the people came together and they stood before the Lord. That's an appropriate thing. Now, if you have a physical problem that makes it difficult to do that, God doesn't have a problem with that. He can heal you if he chooses to, but if he doesn't, you feel free to keep your seat. That's okay. But otherwise, there are times when it's appropriate to stand. If you can't be bothered to get up, and physically you are able, but you just don't feel like it, realize that feeling like it is not the first rule of worship. Okay? And so these people came and they had the whole family with them. They had their dependents. They had their children. The old people were there. Everybody was there. Rich, poor, young, old, didn't matter. Everybody came together and stood before the Lord. Secondly, after God spoke to them, they had prayed, remember, Jehoshaphat the king had led them in crying out to the Lord to help them. And then God spoke to them through one of the prophets who was in the congregation. And when they received that message, then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground. Here is the guy who's the leader that everybody bows before politically, socially, and he is on his knees, on his face before God. Let me tell you something. We don't have to always do that here, but you better be doing it somewhere. Displaying with your body what should be the attitude of your heart, and that is holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It is very hard to be prideful if you're looking at God. You are humbled before him. And so the king knelt low with his face to the ground. But then again, the response, I love it. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting loudly. It was a joyful, praise-filled celebration. It's fine to stand. It's fine to kneel. If you're going to walk with God, you're probably going to have to do some of both. And that's good. That's good. And there are times when we need to be silent before Him, and there are times when we need to shout to the Lord with a joyful sound. God will not just lead us to do this or this. He'll lead us to do this. You be willing and ready to do whatever God says. Because what these folks did when they sent the musicians out in front of the armed forces was to put into practice in a radical way their faith that God would fulfill His word. God had spoken to them through one of the prophets. They embraced the word of God and then they acted on it. And folks, that is what worship is really all about. It's not about the standing, the kneeling, the raising of the hands in and of itself. It is about obedience to the Lord. If the reason you raise your hands is because Pastor Wood thinks it's a good thing, you're missing it. The reason to raise your hands is because God says over and over in His Word that He likes it. So do it for Him. Do it for Him, and therefore don't do it grudgingly. If you've got a rotator cuff injury, okay, God knows about that. If you don't, get your hands up, okay? I mean, really, if God forbid a terrorist came in here with a gun and was threatening to shoot people if we didn't all get our hands in the air, I think most of us would feel very Pentecostal. You know, no problem, I got my hands up. Let me tell you something, folks. These people did something so radical. They're going out to face an enormous invading army. Three allied forces that are coming against them. And they are vastly outnumbered, and the response is to put the musicians, the choir, out front. Can you imagine that? Now, I've been in some churches with certain choir members that I might be willing to put out front. But hey, listen, we're going to have a big battle tomorrow. Why don't you go first? But here's the thing. The reason these folks went in front was because God had said He was going to fight the battle. And they didn't have to. All they had to do was stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, when God says that's all you got to do, that's all you got to do. And so they just worshiped the Lord. Let me tell you, worship is powerful if it's obedient worship. If it's false worship, not good. But when it's obedient worship, doing what God wants, the way God commands, there is power there. There is power there. And I've seen God do miraculous things. So, our goal is to please Him. That's what worship is all about. And I invite you on this journey. It's not like, well, are you suggesting that I might need to learn some things and change in some ways and so forth in the years to come? I hope so. I want to. I'm getting rather old. But I don't think I'm finished. I don't think it's over. I don't think I already know everything. What about you? Do you want to learn? Do you want to grow? Do you want to deepen in your walk with God? Or do you feel like, basically, we have reached cruising altitude? I don't want to cruise along on autopilot. I want to be wholly yielded to Him. And I pray that you will experience the joy of this adventure with us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.